Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for this day. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for the change that you create within us. And even as the Apostle Paul says, my children for whom I labor until Christ is formed in you. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus because continually Christ is formed in us and we become even like he is. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus because this is a reality in our lives and that we shall march forth like an army in this end time and conquer all that is before us. I thank you, Father, because you have set us forth for victory, and victory is our portion. I thank you, Father, because you equip us, you change us, you mold us into that image of the end time army, that we shall be a part of the wonderful things that you do in this time of the end. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Joel chapter 2, verse 7. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation. They do not break ranks. They do not push one another. Everyone marches in his own column. Though they lunge between the weapons, they are not cut down. They run to and fro in the city. They run on the wall. They climb into the houses. They enter at the windows like a thief. Praise the Lord. Now, this scripture is talking about God's end time army. And I want us to notice certain things that he talks about. And that end time army inevitably is us. But I want you to notice, it says in verse 6, before them the people writhe in pain, all faces are drained of color. Now, the context of it, it's actually talking about so many things. It's talking about locusts, then it's talking about God's end time army, then it's talking about the day of the Lord. But you see, all these scriptures, especially prophetic scriptures, have several meanings that span a period of time. Amen. Now, it says they run like mighty men and they climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation and they do not break ranks. Now, the phrase breaking ranks means a number of things in the army. First of all, it means moving out of the formation in which you're attacking. But it also means failing to understand the different ranks that they are in that army. Amen? So if somebody goes and does something outside of an order, perhaps that he got from somebody higher than him, he's said to have broken ranks. Or if you're going forward and somebody gets out of the room, he's said to have broken rank. Now, this end-time army does not break rank. Amen? But that's not all. They do not push one another. Now, if you look at the way the church has been in these last days, if there is one thing that has characterized this, it is pushing one another. Amen?
Nobody seems to be absolutely sure of what they are supposed to do. And because they are not terribly sure, they end up fighting other people because they are fighting for space. So, if you find an army which has people who do not know their specific roles, and it's like a football team where the defenders are playing as strikers and therefore they are stepping on each other because they are not supposed to be there. The strikers don't expect these people to be there, they expect them to be at the height, but somehow they have moved from there and everybody is in each other's way, so there is complete confusion as a result. Now, that has been a bit of the characteristic of the church. But you see now, in a very short time, it is going to change so drastically that you will not be able to recognize it in 1 year from now. Amen?
Amen?
All the confusion that you knew the church to have, where so-and-so is fighting so-and-so, and why they fight, it's all because they don't have specific instructions. They don't specifically know what they are called to do. Amen? So they are stepping on each other's toes because they are out of position, speak football-wise. So, now all the confusion, I'm telling you this because you are this entire army, and so many of you have to learn things which are different if you are actually going to do what you have been called to do and not the way it has been done previously. Amen?
So you have to get out of the training, of previous training, where you know that fight somebody, start a ministry, you have to fight somebody who is starting and what, and get into this current training where there is no need for any such thing. Because each one has his instruction. And listen, it says that they do not push one another, everyone marches in his own column. Though they lunge between weapons, they are not cut down. Amen? Now, of course, a lot of this confusion that has happened in church is as a result of failure to understand the way spiritual things work, people not seeking God's will for their life, or continually seeking God's will for their life. A majority of people who are in ministry will have known that they are called, and then at that stage they start and just go. They don't at every one stage find out if they're actually doing what the Lord called them to do. Amen? Now, where is grace? Come. Tell us about that dream or vision you had.
Praise God. A few weeks ago, on a Sunday, I helped a friend shift. So after that, I was a bit exhausted, and I went to sleep. When I was sleeping, I wasn't actually asleep because I could feel I didn't put on the mind net. I could feel my leg wasn't covered. So in the middle of that, somehow I was on a mountain top, and you know how you can be up and you look at things very far? Now, behind me, I could feel the presence of somebody who was a bit bigger than me and had a shadow ahead. So a person told me, look straight. So when I looked, I saw people being lifted and they were going. And when I looked up, I saw an open sky, and you could sense there was glory that they were going into. And the person kept on telling me, the rapture is soon. The rapture is soon. And then after that, immediately I was taken to a different setting of the day when Mr. Kablet talked about the horses. Now, I remember when that day, actually, I didn't really pay attention because I was sitting next to the air conditioner, and I was a bit not. So somehow I was taken back to that day, and the person was telling me about how the horses, and the person talked about the green horse having come and gone. And I understood the sermon so well. And the person kept on telling me, the rapture is soon. The rapture is soon. And the soon that I got was not like 2000, you understand? So when someone tells you soon of, like around the corner, that was the feeling I was getting. I was getting a feeling of get ready, I am coming. It was too strong. Now, I got out of bed, and when I got out, the voice still says, the rapture is soon. And it was so audible that I believed the person was in the house with me. I got up and went and checked the house, and I was actually alone in the house. And the person was not there, but the voice was really, really audible.
Rebecca, first come, there's the other dream which you had, which you told us before. I want you to tell it to us again. When, like, Jesus was coming and I was playing people music, you know.
Hello, everyone. I dreamt when, you know how rain starts in a place, like you see it afar and it's coming. So I was watching what was happening, so I was seeing the world, different nations, and then I saw Jesus was coming back, like he had stepped on the earth. But then it was like how rain comes, so it was like different country. So I was looking at the part of the world where he had come back, and I was also seeing this part he hadn't, people hadn't seen it. So, of course, Uganda was there, what? So I saw, and I was panicking, I was thinking, Jesus is, like, he's not coming back, like, future tense, he, present continuous tense. So I see the watchman in the dream walking to the studio, to the radio station, and of course I'm happy, I'm thinking, yes, he's going to tell people Jesus is coming back. But then he enters the studio, and it's I remember it was a Sunday morning show, because my first show, I first wondered, why isn't it on Wednesday? So it was Sunday morning, and it was a breakfast show. And he was saying, call in, ask for your favorite songs. Send greetings to your friends. Actually, he was taking tea, I remember. Couch.
Okay. I was doing what?
You, like, there was a cup of tea. I don't think I shared that last time.
Okay. I was taking a cup of tea.
I am not saying huh?
You're sure it was tea, not coffee? Praise the Lord. Now, anyway, what actually that dream meant, because she had it some time ago, is that I was teaching people how to live instead of telling them that the Lord is coming soon. Amen? And the thing is, what happened is when I got on radio, I realized that so many people don't have pastors who teach them how to, you know. So people are asking me very basic questions about very simple Christian life. So I kind of got, carried away into telling them how to live, and I forgot my core message. Then about that same time, I just reached home one day and kicked off my shoes and sat on my sofa, and the Lord told me, just as I was sitting and getting hold of the remote, I'd actually come from radio, and the Lord told me that don't move far away from your core message of telling people that Jesus is coming soon. Amen. Now, the thing is, all the things, the other lady, Grace, was talking about, is the things we've been talking about have come and passed. There is almost like nothing left to come. Do you understand? Eh? So, even the people who, I was telling people music, what, basically telling them how to live, because somebody comes to you, and these are the things I would have, because you expect people to be asking you things, you know, serious end-time things. Then they're asking you, man, I haven't gotten a job in 5 years, and you actually feel sorry for them. So you actually start teaching them that part, and you forget the core message. Amen? So the Lord had to remind me, and in so many different ways, but specifically actually spoke to me very clearly at that time, and I even said it on radio, that now I've been told, because I'd gone like 3 months without preaching in time. Now, listen to this. Eh? When we say soon, it is very, very soon. Do you understand? And the things that we've been talking about have come and passed while we were seeing the horses, the seven trumpets, not all seven, the seventh is at the Battle of Armageddon, the seven trumpets, the six what, all those things, the seals which start so long ago and all end at the Battle of Armageddon, the seven trumpets which start about 100 years ago, all of them, and the seventh trumpet at the Battle of Armageddon, as well as the vials in the Revelation 16, which are the punishment, which also ends at the Battle of Armageddon, which is the end of all things. Okay? Now, here we are in a situation where everything here, all the things that we see, are going to be wrapped up in very few years from now. But unfortunately, there are people who cannot put that in their heads, eh? They still live for the here and now. Do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? Yet all the things that, even the things that you desire the most, after a few years, it's all going to be wrapped up and it will mean nothing. And actually the things that will mean anything are the ones that, I remember reading a story of a lady who went to heaven, and then she meets this young girl, and the girl takes her to the seaside where there is wet sand. You know, and tells her that you start building, castles with sand, eh? Because that's what you like a lot. And she said, who told you I like that? I don't particularly like it. She said, no, you build, that's what you like. So, you know those things the children do, eh? Of building what? So, she's telling an old woman that you like it so much, so you do it. Then the woman says, who told you I don't like building castles? She said, but that's what you're doing. Let me tell you, anything that does not point towards that is building castles, because it's going to be washed away by the lake. Eh? Like, you know, eh? You know what happens. The wave comes, washes it away, then you build again. So you're wasting time. Eh? And now that is precisely what so many people are doing. Now, unfortunately, some of the people who are doing that and getting caught up in very petty battles of this, who is that, who is this, who is that, are people who God is counting on to be a part of this end time army. Now, the thing is, the army is actually going to happen. The question is whether you are going to be involved in it or not, because it is prophesied. Now, some people are going to come and get serious about certain things, and they will be a part of this army, and they will go, and those who refuse will be swept by the wayside. They might end up in heaven, but they will miss out on a big something, because they will not have taken their station in what God is planning in this, you know. Amen? So now, they are busy pushing one another. Eh? Now, the Bible says they will not push one another. They will not break rank. Now, rank means this. The army of God operates like a real army here. Now, God at the top of the army, it's the same as the army of angels. Now, until we actually learn this and make the lives that we lead the same way that, that's how the kingdom of God is operated, on the level of, you know, ranks, angels. Jesus said there are certain angels who speak directly to his Father, who are guardian angels. Now, guardian angels are usually like what you'd call the lower rank angels, guardian. But he said when they are the people they are guarding are children, then they are given direct access to speak to God. But otherwise, they do not. They get orders from higher-ranking angels. Now, that means when the person grows up and can make decisions of their own, then the angel loses access, eh? Direct access. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the whole structure of the angelic army falls apart if one angel decides to do independently, the way some Christians try to, you know, serve the Lord, independent of the other, of the chain of authority. Now, the one thing that is going to stand and completely tell who is God, let me tell you, from if you look at the book of, all throughout the Old Testament, there are so many things which happened and God did not, like the children of Israel. They come from Egypt, they come, they grumble, they do all these things, and somehow all those things pass. The one time that God strikes immediately is when they stand up and question the authority of Moses. Not once, not twice, a number of times. The one time they start, because God rules the earth through authority structures. Do you understand what I'm saying? He is the cardinal authority. You know, Jesus Christ learned obedience through suffering. You understand? Eh? Then Christ, ahead of Christ is God. Now, after that is the church. The church is managed in authority structures, which if you do not know which where you fall under authority and you're still in resistance, a number of things can happen. One of them is that, first of all, you'll not serve the Lord. I remember now this, I'm talking about things of 20 years ago when we just got born again and we entered into church and we felt we were called and we used to do things. Eh? We used to do things which youthful people do. Eh? A lot of, you know, vigor and what and faith and so many things. Eh? A lot of it was, of course, childishness, but it was to be expected. I remember a time when one of our colleagues went and died. And we were like, this guy, how can he die? Eh? Doesn't he know that there are men of God in this place? So, guys went to where the dead body was. Eh? And, like, arrived there, looking very serious like this. Eh? Then one of them actually said that he's not dead, he's asleep. Eh? Then, like, the mourners looked around and said, these guys, eh? So, walked straight in to where the corpse was, eh? And threw out all jokers who don't have faith, eh? And said, now let's show these guys how it is done, eh? So, we started praying for the corpse, eh? Now, you pray. Said, no, this guy is joking. Eh? He has to come back from the dead. Eh? You are not going to mess us up like this. So we bad. So now, after 1 hour, the guy is as dead. Now, Now what happened after 1 hour is some guy said, hey, I can feel some warmth in the legs. But the legs were warm because they had been holding them for 1 hour. So we prayed, you know, until the muscles were. So then, 2 hours, 3 hours, the guy is as dead as. Now even the mourners are becoming impatient. You guys, just get out of this place. So now, one by one, you look, see how this one takes off. See how the other one takes off. But one guy, I remember him actually. The guy was like, no, this guy is joking. So he said, now, let me show you how faith thing is done. The guy lifted the corpse and made it stand on its feet. And said, now I'm going to release in at the count of three. And the guy is going to be alive. So he said, one, two, three. Then he released. Woo, bam. Now the relatives told us, you guys, stop playing. Stop playing. Man, they threw us out of that place. Now, you know, but you know one funny thing I realized that from those days onwards, a lot, all of us were called. But the people who actually went on to become something and actually pursue their callings and actually now in the process of pursuing their callings are people who had one quality. One. Of course, there were so many weaknesses among us. So many, what, you know, things. Girls, what, those things. So, but we loved the Lord. Okay? Yeah, but what do you expect of a 20-year-old? But the people who survived, and now people are laughing as if they don't know those things. Yet some of you, I want, okay. Even other things, yeah, if you say you branch a bit here and what, there was a lot of fujo, I remember like that time some guy called the fast over 7 days, dry. So I attempted. On the second day, man, I was... like, you know, dry where you cannot even swallow saliva. So I attempted, and now, and I could have gone at least, you know, some distance. But by then, there was a lot of... Then, on the evening of the second day, we went to pray. We were in a certain place praying, and of course, we are, you know, without energy. So we are praying quietly. And there's this guy who's telling us, stand up, stand up, stand up. You know, so man, I hadn't been saved long. So I was saying, maybe when I'm saved long, I'll be able to do these things when I'm fasting. Because the guy had energy and I was so weak, I could only sit down. And like, that was just the second day. I had 5 more days. So, now after that, you know, we're in a small, like a garage of somebody. And so we said, so I said, let me go and stretch my legs a bit. So I stood out and walked a bit. When I went behind, I found the guy who was telling us to pray eating over a cob of maize. My fast ended there and there. Man. Like I was, this is the guy who was saying, you sit down, like says, stand up, put your hands up. Man, then you put your hands up and you're tired. I found the guy eating Obama Pera or something. So, but the one thing, immediately I saw him, immediately, my home wasn't far from there. I just went straight home, made a cup of chai, and broke the fast. But you know, it affected me mentally because I was looking up at these guys who had been saved for years. Eh? So, man, I was like, man, maybe when I've been saved that long, I'll be able to. Anyhow, my body will react differently. So, but what I'm telling you is, the one thing that stood out from the people back then, who are doing ministry now, and those who are in now, is one thing only. Response to authority. I remember there was one of us who for some reason he used to sell belts downtown. You know these guys who come and show you belts, eh? Leather belts and suspenders. Eh? Those days every preacher used to put on a suspender. Eh? Unless you were not anointed. Eh? Every anointed preacher used to put on a suspender. Eh? So the guy used to sell suspenders, and Varokole were a good what? Market for suspenders. Some of you might not even know suspenders. Eh? Do you know them? All of you, eh? Eh, okay. They will come back by the very soon, eh? You will see people putting on suspenders. Eh? All these things come back. So, I remember a time when, some years ago, when everybody was putting on a double breast suit, eh? And looked like it was a new thing. Then I saw a picture of my father in 1970 putting on a double breast suit. And I'm like, hey, these things go round and round and round anyhow. So this guy was Mutembeye of leather stuff, eh? Good leather stuff. But he had one thing, eh? He knew how to respond to authority. Now he's actually pastoring a very big church. Eh? Apart from him and me, the rest are not doing anything in ministry of any meaning. Now myself, somewhere along the way, I got off and went and got a job in a corporate company. So I learned that when somebody is your boss, he's your boss. Eh? Amen? There are no opinions. Eh? In churches, you'll come and say the pastor did this wrong and what, and you know, there's tolerance for that. Eh? It will not take you anywhere, but you can do that. But at work, if you want the job, you have to listen to your boss. Eh? Whether you believe he's right or wrong, you just have to listen to him. Now that's how it is. But the thing is, but it also taught me something that when you are serving under somebody, you're like, because after that I left and I was served in a church somewhere for so many years. But I can tell you that there is not one single time when the pastor can say that I did not respond to his authority in that place. Not once. Not once. Because it's his church. Do you understand? Eh? If I don't want to be there, I leave. Like at some stage, I left. But as long as I am there, and you start trying to create another center of power, eh? Or you start trying certain basic thing. Now, people don't understand that. Eh? But if there is one thing that will get you crushed immediately, it is that sort of rebellion. That is the rebellion of Lucifer, eh? Where you're trying to create a center of power. Within a center of power. Do you understand? And people do it. And it might be childishness, but also it's a spirit of rebellion. And it is very dangerous because I know where it can take somebody, apart from them never doing anything in ministry. It can completely destroy the work of God in a place. And some people do it ignorantly, but so many people do it knowing exactly what they are doing. Amen? Like there is a guy who comes here for Watchman every Friday, and after the fellowship is over, he's busy prophesying to girls. Girls only. I don't know why girls. He's prophesying to girls only. Even now I think he's here. Eh? Now, I have sent people to warn him not to do that, but he does not heed their call. The next thing, I can destroy him with one word. Let me tell you, I have authority. Do you understand? Eh? But why does somebody come? This man here comes and prophesies on the pulpit. All these people are going to have their own ministries. These ones. Like, you can come and do it within. Do you understand? Eh? Like, I am serving God. Eh? There is nobody who has a ministry whom I will not promote. Nobody. I do not compete with anybody. Do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? Actually, when I see it, I try to promote it and nurture it. And if it takes something, you understand? Eh? But if somebody waits when the fellowship is over and then starts calling beautiful girls and prophesying to them and telling them fake things, eh? And of course, girls are very vulnerable, so they will listen to that crap. Eh? So he tells them that, I see you've been having a problem in relationships. Which 30-year-old girl has not had a problem in relationships? I see you want a better job. Who doesn't want a better job? How many people want better jobs? So now if I called you to prophesy that you want a better job, is that really a prophecy? But that is called the spirit of rebellion. Now that is somebody who does not know where he fits in the world and is stepping on people's whatever. You cannot create a center of power within another center of power. Eh? People think it is light, but God takes those things very seriously. The minute those people come and say, has God spoken through you only? Telling Moses. Everything else was forgiven. Aaron went and made a golden calf for the children of Israel and said, behold the God who brought you out of Egypt when Moses was up on the hill. Do you know what God did to him? Nothing. Nothing. But the day he questioned Moses' authority, suddenly, God shows up. And say, who do you think you are? Because the whole congregation can fall apart on one person questioning the other. Because God passes on his authority to people, and that's how the whole... That's why in the army, it doesn't matter if you're a lower rank, nobody wants your opinion. You understand? Eh? If the person of a higher rank speaks, shut up. All that matters is rank. Do you understand? Now, I'll tell you that what Aaron was saying and Miriam about Moses was true. Moses was actually in the wrong. Did God even mention that? No. That is totally irrelevant. He actually, now, ultimately, because at the beginning, God called Moses and told him, I'm making you like God. And Aaron is your prophet. Now, the prophet starts questioning, has God spoken to you only? God says, what? Then he establishes a sense of authority and says, to other people, I speak to them through dreams and what? But to Moses, I speak to him face to face, like a man speaks to his friend. Then how dare you stand up and question this? Then Miriam gets leprosy. And you know what happens when you get leprosy? Immediately, the kanyamazi come and throw you out of the camp. Like there is no compromise. You know, you remember the story of Esther and the king. When Haman comes and tells the king, or rather, when Esther reveals that Haman is trying to kill me and my people and what, and the king walks out of the palace angry, then Haman comes and falls at the feet of Esther, and the king comes into the house. And he sees something else. He's pleading for his life. But the king says, are you even going to molest the queen in my presence? Now, immediately those words go out of the king. They even cover his face. Like, suddenly you are like a corpse. Eh? They even cover his face and throw you out. Whilst the king says, can you even molest the queen in my presence? Now, when authority speaks, so immediately Miriam gets leprosy. She's carried out, escorted out of the camp. Now, Aaron is left. Because Miriam was the leader of. Now, one of the reasons Aaron actually survived is because, of course, he had an office. Eh? He was the head of the priestly office. Although even if he was, you know, told that, but he was representing the priest. Moses wasn't a priest. Moses was a prophet. Miriam was a prophet under Moses. Aaron was the chief priest, so to speak. But anyhow, so Aaron falls down and says, what does he say? That, my Lord. Now Moses was his younger brother, 3 years younger than him. But he falls at his feet and says, my Lord. Shall Miriam be like one of the outcasts? Then Moses is touched and pleads to the Lord. And the Lord says, you chill her for at least 1 week. Eh? Let her what? Learn her lesson. Eh? 1 week. And she's locked out of the camp for 1 week. Eh? And authority. Now, it did not have, that was not the only time. Other times, the mixed multitude come up. And they have done so many things. But the minute they come up and question the authority of Moses, God comes, shows up, and says, separate them. Those who are on the other side, this side. Those who are on this side. And the ground opens up. And they go right in. Do you know where they go? Hell. Hell is in the middle of the earth. And by the way, there are people who have dug in certain places, especially around the, I think the center of it is around the Dead Sea. And they say they dug and they couldn't go beneath because there were so many. The heat was too much. It got to 1,000 degrees. Now, actually, hell is at the core of this earth. Now, Jesus kind of said, Paul kind of said that when he said, every knee shall bow down of the knees in heaven, of the knees on earth, and of the knees beneath the earth. So they are those who are beneath the earth. So a portal opens suddenly, and you go straight, and it closes up. Can you imagine that? Now, these people had done things which would appear to have been bigger in human eyes, and they got away with it. But when it comes to this, because I want you to understand that any kind of mutiny ends, brings the work of God to a standstill. Because there is no army that can survive when a sergeant is questioning a lieutenant. It cannot survive. That's the end of that army. Amen? Because then you start questioning how the other person became. You know, those are the things. How did you become a lieutenant? Me, I have a degree. You don't have. How did you become a major? You are the president's son and what and what. Nobody wants to know. If the other person is a major general, and you're a major, and he says something, if you even dare stand up to it, you are going to be locked up and nobody is even going to know where the keys are. Now, and that's how armies are. Now, this end time army marches and does not break rank. Everyone knows their thing. Nobody is stepping on the other. Each one knows his column. Each one knows what they are called to do. Each one falls under their own line of authority. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, until this is established again in the church, until people start understanding the sense of authority, the end time army is not yet ready. But God is preparing now people who understand the simplicity of authority, that don't do things which are, if you really want to work with God, if you don't want to go to the world where there is rebellion of, you know, the devil. But the very thing is, you have to understand, the devil does not rebel against God's power. He knows he cannot stand God's power. It's his authority. He questions. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now I'm telling you that God is doing something in the church these days. And until you understand the concept, the true concept of authority, you'll end up with people. Now, that's what happens in the days of David. David goes and finds Saul who wants to kill him. Saul can kill David. David cannot kill Saul. Because Saul was king before David. Okay? And at that time, Saul was king. David was not king, although the anointing was with David. Now, in ranks, I told you last week, even when somebody falls from grace, they retain their rank. Even Satan. Amen? Jude 1:9, we read that scripture. What does it say? Jude 1:8. 1:8. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. There are people who are, let me tell you something. There are people who in the kingdom of God are dignitaries. Just like in the kingdom of the world, they are dignitaries. And they will be accorded that respect. Who gave it to them? God. You question their authority, you question God. They are dignitaries. You are not going to go. There are people who will pass you with sirens and you will get out of the way. Right or wrong? Because they are dignitaries in this world. Now, in the kingdom of God, they are dignitaries. And these people say, these people reject authority. They speak evil of dignitaries. Okay? It goes on to say that. By the way, let me tell you something. In every industry, you get promoted by respecting somebody, even not outside of God. You get promoted by respecting somebody who was there before you and who is of a higher rank. Do you understand? If you're a lawyer and you're starting out and you've just established your legal firm in some arcade downtown where you pay rent of 200k a month and you speak ill of somebody who has been in that thing for so long, Let me tell you, that will automatically bring you down. You will not ascend to that level. I'm telling you, this law is established in all the world, in everything. I was reading stories of footballers. I'll give you an example. David Beckham grows up at Manchester carrying somebody's shoes who used to play that preferred, but you know, he used to revere him. Now, this is the system of the world, you understand, eh? Now, he was considered to be less talented than all the others, but he turned out to be the one who took that position and even became richer than all of them. And so this thing promotes, do you understand? Eh? When you respect people who are there before you, eh, it promotes you. And in every industry in the world, now you go and speak evil of some guy who has been doing legal stuff for 30 years, who has established himself. And you think, of course, because maybe he's, you know, eh, you think you're younger, you're more vibrant, you know. Eh, so you go and find... You think that your wife is speaking against him. Things which Ugandans find very easy to do, eh? And you don't know, those words actually become the things that bring you down. You do not attract anything you do not honor. It's just that simple. So, you want to be like him, and you think that if you criticize him, you'll be like him. Actually, you'll never be like him. Now, those people who look up to him and say, you know, and treat him with respect, and, you know, you will find that very soon they will actually be like him. Amen? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." I told you the reason Michael did this is because the devil was once his boss. Because Lucifer was at the head of it all. He was a cherub, anointed cherub. He was an archangel. He was, you understand, eh? So at one stage, Michael was answering to him. Now, just because he fell off doesn't mean Michael can come and start. So he appealed to a high authority and said, "The Lord rebuke you. The Lord who has sent me to get the body of Moses, eh? Rebuke you, not me." You understand, eh? Now, that is true even for men of God. I told you last week. The reason I'm repeating it is because it's very important. People's ministries are going to stand or fail on that. Remember what Simeon said when Jesus was born? Let's read that. It's in Luke chapter what? Luke chapter 2, verse 25. "And behold, there was a certain man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, 'Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel.'" Amen? Now that is talking about Jesus, but it's talking about everybody. Every time God establishes an authority, it is for the fall and rising. Eh? It is for what? Those who respond to the authority, rising. Those who despise the authority, fall. That's what authority does. It is for the fall and rising of many in Israel. Amen? Those are very powerful words. Eh? Now, God goes and puts an authority in the church, let's say. And people stand up to the authority because they start seeing. And even sometimes the people who are standing up to that authority are themselves called to be in authority. But before you are going to be in authority, you have to be under authority. It's just the way it is. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, David understands that he's not yet king. He's not at the rank of king. Although he was anointed in the spirit, he was king. But Saul was anointed and is king. So he has, when Saul kills David, Saul has not broken rank. Okay? But if David kills Saul, David has broken rank. Do you understand? So he gets an opportunity to kill David, and he says, nope. Nobody shall be held guiltless. Eh? Who does something like that? Who lifts his hand against Lord's anointed? Do you understand what I'm saying? And he refuses two times to kill David. And meanwhile, David is looking for him to kill him. But Saul is looking for David to kill David. But David refuses. He says, no, I am not at that rank yet. By the way, there are certain things. Eh? Now, even that man who comes praising himself to David and said that he killed Saul. Do you know what David did? He killed him. He said, who are you to kill a king? You are not at that rank. But you see, the army know these things, eh? But the children of God don't. There is a guy who they sent to arrest. Eh? You know, eh? Eh? Sejusa, eh? They sent people who were below him to arrest him. He refused. He said, go and tell the president to send people either of my rank or higher than me. And you know what they did? They went. And when people of his rank came, he accepted to go in. That is how you can't send a colonel to arrest a general. It doesn't happen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? And the man, on principle, he said, I know, okay, I'm going to be arrested, but not by you. You go in. So they sent somebody who was at his level. Then he said, okay, let's go. Do you understand? Anyhow, I don't even know why I'm going in politics, but I want us to understand the concept of rank, eh? And the kingdom of God and how this end time army, until you understand this, there are so many people who are trying to serve God independently. Do you understand? Eh? There is no such thing as serving God independently. You have to be under somebody. Eh? And if you're under somebody, now let me tell you, the only way you can get a grace that is on somebody is by being a part of what they are doing, not attending. There are so many people. Now let me tell you, there is a grace that is upon this ministry, which was told so many years ago, about 7 years ago. The Lord told me that through my ministry, a great army is going to arise. And I know some of you are, you know, part of that army. But I know some people still have a problem being a part of it. You understand? Eh? They attend because something inside them tells them they are supposed to be there. But they are not yet a part of it. And I cannot force people to be a part of it. And so they will come and attend and go. Come and attend and go. And now then some others will come and join and become a part of what's going on. And then within 1 year, everything in their life is changing. Ministry, they are beginning to get their vision a lot clearer. And what? And what makes the difference? Because these people are a part of it. You cannot take an inheritance from a house when you're a visitor. First, go and become a member of that house. Amen? Now, there are people who come here and attend the watchman and they go. They want some information and what? They will get information, whatever information there is to give. End time stuff and what, so you go and sound intelligent in your arguments. But that's as far as it will go. That's as far as it will go. I'm telling you, until you become, do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? Now, these days, like you cannot partake of something until you cannot even enjoy a football match, eh? Until you are supporting one of the two teams. Can you watch a football match and you're just neutral? Because where is the pleasure in it? The pleasure is in I support this team and then you're on tension because they are not scoring or they are going to call. You understand? Eh? Now, some people come and they are indifferent, eh? At a distance. Eh? And so we say we are doing this and that. And it's like, yeah, Friday come, watch man what? And not even just watchmen, even other ministries. Eh? You tell them we are doing this and we are doing that. They are not interested. And it's not going to benefit them. I'm telling you. And they are called. And they are supposed to be part of God's end time army. And that army is being built now. Now. Amen? Then there are those who are learning how to walk with the Lord, and they come to me every day. Then they are learning this, they are learning this, they are learning that, you know. Like this man here, Rogers, you stand up. Actually, even the guy is sitting next to him. But you stand up, you here. Now, this guy here had me on radio, came from some ministry. He came to me. I told him he has a prophetic call. Now, the things he's witnessing in his, well, yet to start ministry, but himself as a person. Now, when he comes and tells me the things which God is showing him, it's okay, you can sit down. They astound even me, like powerful things. But he, like, belongs. Do you understand? Now, there are some people who cannot even belong to anything. They don't belong anywhere. But they will attend. If it's there, they go and attend whatever. Then they go and attend here, and they go and attend here. And, yeah, they are too sharp to be involved anywhere. Like, they are picking pieces from here and pieces from here and adding here and what. They say, now somebody, I ask somebody that, who is your role model? Who is the person? The person, I have many. Now, if you tell me that, I can tell you for sure that 10 years from now, you will be exactly where you are. You will not have improved one bit. Because that means you are handling the things of God at the level of education, or rather of knowledge. You are picking knowledge. Do you understand? Knowledge does not benefit anything. Nothing. Now let me tell you. Do you see when this rich, like the other Khan, comes here? And all these Indians go there to listen to him. You've seen, They even pay money to listen to him. Do you think they are paying money to go and listen to how to become rich? No. They are going there to get the spirit that makes them rich. Do you understand? He's not going to tell you now, go and start selling apples. He doesn't know that. But they come and they will pay money to just go and listen to Aga Khan. Because they understand how spiritual things work. You can tap on somebody's spirit by just listening to them. And then, you know, it starts money in different ways. Now, the only people who do not understand that are the church. They come for knowledge. What is he saying? Because that's the way the church has been before. But that is the old church. That's the church of people who are stepping on each other. Where you're coming, you have somebody is giving you knowledge, so then you go and pass it on somewhere else, and you know this and that, and you keep it at that level, and it is never going anywhere. Never. You're going to stay there. You have a lot of knowledge. Now, the church is full of people who have knowledge on everything. They have knowledge on prosperity, but they are broke. They have knowledge on healing, but they are sick. They have knowledge. Do you understand? Because now when you sit them down if you settle down for that level of argument, then that's okay. If all you want to do is win an argument and sound intelligent, that's fine. Then you stay. But if you actually want to be a part of God's end time army, as you should be, you have to belong somewhere. One place where you say, this is my place. Okay, that doesn't mean it's the only place you go. You understand? But it is the place where you are. I don't want to use the word because it has been misused. But I will say it nonetheless. The place where you're submitted to. Now, how do you know people who are knowledge seekers? Let's say if I say now, okay, I've finished preaching. They start walking out. There is no reverence. They have zero reverence whatsoever. I mean, like, it's like a movie. Like when the words start coming out, you don't wait for the words to... you leave. Like there is no sense of reverence whatsoever. The other day I was trying to, he was trying to say something, like a big part of the congregation are already walking out, they are not in a hurry. You're going to find them there. It's going to take 2 minutes. They can't wait until the end. Do you understand what I'm saying? They are like, you know, football fans who are bored, their team is trading 5-0, and even the camera shows them when they're already going home, to catch the early train home. And now the one thing that, how you know this, is there will be no sense of reverence of what's going on. You can wait until the service is over and you go. But not everybody will wait. I remember some place where I went and I was talking about, and I could sense resistance. I was talking about, like, giving, telling people how the ministry, not here, how the ministry needs, you know, this. And you're sensing people resisting. And yet there are the people who come all the time. Then one of them even went and told somebody that, you know, man, those guys bored me. They talk about money. But that same person will never be bored when they go to another place and they talk about money. Say like a movie or a supermarket or what. But why are they even there if they don't belong? Do you understand? Why are they there? Why are you here if you don't believe in what the watchman is doing? To get knowledge? Okay, today I'm giving none. Praise the Lord. You have to take these things away from that level and become, because in very few years, all this thing is going to be wrapped up. Jesus is coming soon. You've heard those people, you know? So when he comes back, how what? You have all eternity, and the only time you have now to affect how you live your time in eternity is now, in a few years. The only time you have now. Only time. Now, of course, you want to, you know, your children have to go to this nice school and what. And all those things, by the way, mean a lot to God. But there are things which mean more to him. So you're like the other lady whom they told, build those castles. That's what you like. You like temporary things. So you're building ministries, building what, and building, you know, these things. Then another deception that has gone into the church is, by the way, it's going to change everything that you see here. People thought that you can attract big congregations by doing big advertising and what and all those things, and so on, or by being a very good speaker. So you preach, so you come and blow people away with some kind of what? Then preach and get a big handkerchief, which is like a towel, and start wiping. And put on suits which are long up to here. And speak in very nice English. Let me tell you something. That is a lie. There are two things I discovered that are lies. Number one is that you can get money any other way than by giving. A lie. Unless you are going to steal. If you want to steal, go and steal. But in the kingdom of God, it is a lie. It is a lie. When I learned that, and I settled it in my mind, I decided I'm going to be a giver. There is no other way. Like if anybody, there is none. You have to settle it, this is the way. Number one. Number two, you have to settle. I was telling somebody today, if you went to Brazil and they told you you're going to be here for 30 years and you cannot survive without speaking Portuguese, you don't start lamenting. You just go to school and learn Portuguese. There are certain things you're just supposed to go and learn. I told them you cannot serve the Lord until you learn how to walk by faith. You cannot. So I was telling somebody today, pastor, that there is no alternative. There is no other way. This is the way. Do you understand? You are not going to get any, you cannot call somebody to give you money. If you call them this week, who will give you money next week or the other week or the other week? So I told them, if you think you are going to do ministry without learning how to trust or living by faith, without learning how to walk by faith, just close down and go and find a job. It is not going to happen. Now, there was a time you could have passed. But now, do you know the amount of resistance there is in even doing? People, now you people don't understand. We come here, we do this ministry. You see, you don't understand the resistance we go through when by just doing this sort of thing. Just doing the work of God. The amount of resistance you suffer. Some people here whom we are doing ministry with know it. Where you think you're doing things for the good of what? Now I'll give you an example. When we went to the university here at MOBS, we went the first week. Everybody, you know, is happy. End time, what, you know. So everybody receives us very well. Until somebody goes and tells some other people who are also purportedly doing the work of God, flamboyant guys, that, the watchman is going to university. And those people think they have a monopoly over university. And the person who is telling them is one of us. And he thinks we don't know, but we know. And we give him a chance to do serious ministry, but he chooses to be a mole. Now, you see, this is the thing. How can you be used when you can be used by God? Do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? Okay, some things make me really sad. Because, anyway. So, when we go there, people have planted words. Eh? So, the people who initially received us well, now are receiving us with a lot of resistance. They have been told about we are coming, what spread homosexuality and what and what. And you see now when somebody says bad things about you, you already start from a negative. Of course it is not true, you know. Eh? But then suddenly people who had received you well start looking at you like this. Eh? But how sure are we? But you know, eh? But we had the meeting anyway. Amen? And we'll have the meetings anyway. And like nobody will stop us. Eh? You understand? Eh? For me the only sad thing is when somebody can be used by God and they choose the way of rebellion. Do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? Yet you can just easily be, and there is a reward. Praise the Lord. You can be part of this anti-money which marches and they run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation and they do not break ranks. Glory to God. It also happened at Makerere, by the way. The same thing. Where? But you see now, we take these things head on. Eh? We take them head on. Because, like I'm a fighter. Eh? I'm a real fighter. Eh? Now, I have fought wars. Eh? People have no idea. Eh? Like both in the spirit and in the flesh. So, now when somebody starts coming at me, eh, but you see, here is the point. Let me tell you something. You can fool people sometimes, eh, some of the times, a few people who are, you know, not spiritual alert. But after some time, people come because of the spiritual depth that the person who is ministering has. Amen? And they come based on how their lives have been changed. On the basis of a testimony. Something that happened in their life. Something that they can hold on to. That this changed my... You understand? Eh? Amen? It might be something small, but somebody listened, heard this, heard what, and then they say, wow, this is something that... People whom you don't know come to you, and they say, I listened to... Some of them even listen to... Now some come even from Kenya and where, and they say, I listened to this message somewhere. Even Nigeria, a lady. Eh? Okay, only that Nigeria, you get a bit cautious, but... So when a Nigerian says, man, your minister has blessed me, give me your bank details. I say, that's a bit tight. Use mobile money. Because, man, they can mess you up. Anyway, I hope they are not listening. Eh? Because they say, glory to God. So at the end of the day, it is all about how much of the ministry to God that is in some people's lives. Eh? Now, some people, you sit down, you fast, you do what, you do all these things. Even all those childish things that I told you about who are doing. Eh? It is all preparation for this. Now, at that time, people look at you, this guy is a kiddish. Eh? Like, we did very silly things. Eh? Now, here we are. Eh? Amen? But it was all part of the preparation. Preparation for what God is going to do in this end time. Now, the Lord is coming soon. Amen? The Lord is coming what?
Soon.
By the way, sooner than you think. Now, we are going to go into serious end-time preaching. Eh? Now that the Lord told me not to teach people how to live, eh? But to teach them about end-time. Eh? We are going to go into serious end-time teaching. Eh? Amen?
Amen?
Yeah. Serious teaching. And until you are comprehensively convinced that in the next few years, the skies will fold up and the Lord will descend. But that is not the rapture, that is the day of the Lord. The rapture can happen anytime in between. Amen? Because the time that we have, the estimated time we have, is until the end of, that is the battle of Armageddon. That is when Jesus Christ comes and steps foot on earth. That we can estimate. How do we estimate it? From the number of years. Because, you know, 1,000 years, 2,000, 3,000, 6,000 years, then, you know, the end of the age, the end of the grace age, that we can estimate. What we can't estimate is the day of the rapture. That one can happen any time, even now. Amen? Or like the other lady saw, it's like the rain coming and, you know, or like whatever this lady, where people are going up in the air. And that's exactly how it is going to be. Like the sky just opens and people, now there are different portals to heaven, by the way, just like there are different portals to heaven. Now I'll tell you that place, have you heard of the Bermuda Triangle? Now the Bermuda Triangle is one of the biggest portals into the underworld, into hell. Now people went there and tried to go to the depth of it. Certain explorers. Now a man came out of there and said, "Man, I am not going back in that place." They told him why. He said that he was hearing voices of people screaming. This is not a Bible teacher, this is a scientist. He said he was hearing voices of people screaming. Now, when somebody dies, they go either up or down through the closest portal near them. Because there are so many portals to entrance into the underworld and entrance into high. Now, what happens is, if you die in Uganda and you're going to hell, you want to go to the Bermuda Triangle. There are portals which are nearby, which will take you to the same destination. If you're going down. Eh? Now, if you're going up, you also want to go to portals which are, you want to go to Jerusalem. There are other portals somewhere where the, you know, opens and you go up. And it is an automatic process. Praise the Lord. So there are portals. Now what these guys said, the guys went try to go down and see what it is about this place, over electromagnetic, over what, all those things. The guy said, "Man," he came back like with his face turned red, and said he was hearing people screaming down in that place. And I think there is the closest portal. Now, have you read that scripture in Isaiah 65, which says, let me open it. And okay, Isaiah 66, verse 23. "And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of men who have transgressed against me. For their worm does not die, and their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh." Now, do you know that this is talking about people who are on earth? But there is a place on earth where people will be able to go and see and look into the abyss of hell. Now it just happens to be that the Dead Sea is the lowest place on earth. The lowest. And it is not too far away from the mountain of Jerusalem. Where, you know. So it's possible that. But this is talking about the millennial reign. Go to the previous verse. Shall come down from new moon to new moon, and from one Sabbath, and they shall, all flesh shall come to worship before me. That is Jesus in the millennial reign. And he says, but those people shall, there will be a place where they will be able to go and actually look down and look upon. So, heaven and earth are all like right here. Amen? where they can go and see and look upon the people who have transgressed against me, for their worm does not die and their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence. And it actually goes on to say elsewhere that they shall even be able to smell the, you know, like the smell from the underworld. Where, glory to God, I just had to scare you a bit to wake you up. Now, I finished up here. But nobody is going to hell. By the way, if there is somebody in your family who is not born again, people who have family members who are not born again, stand up. Like, that is no place where even anybody you know, that should be almost everybody. I mean immediate family, father, mother, sister, brother. Not uncle, auntie, what? Amen? Now, I'm going to pray for you. You come and sing, you, whatever. Don't believe God that everybody in your family is going to be saved. That is no place for anybody you know to go to. It is just no place for anybody you know to go to. You can't let somebody you know go to a place like that. When you know like what it is like. Amen. Glory to God. Father, in the name of, okay, now start praying for them. Pray for them. There is a grace to get relatives saved here. We give you glory, Lord.
Yes, we honor you. We give you glory, Lord. As we honor you.
You may be seated.
You
may be seated. Go ahead.
You are worthy, O Lord. You are wonderful. You are worthy, O Lord.
We give you glory, Lord.
We give you glory, Lord. As we honor you.
We give you glory, Lord.
Martin, what's your other name? Who? Is there any other Martin? Or somebody who knows somebody called Martin in Subuga?
You.
financial struggles are coming to an end. And by, I mean, by before the end of this year, that glowing as if you, nothing is working out. As if, like every, now I'm seeing you get good news, you're excited, then it vanishes. True? So you seem like, you always seem like you're coming into something, but it doesn't come. It's always, you're on the brink of something powerful, but which doesn't happen. Okay, now in the name of Jesus, I release you from all those troubles. In the name of Jesus, what's your name? In the name of Jesus, I release you from those troubles. And I decree that before the end of this year, you come into your financial grace. In the name of Jesus. Okay. You are wonderful.
You are worthy, oh Lord. You are wonderful. You are worthy, oh Lord.
I still have to pray for sick people. Sick people. Yeah. Now, there's somebody whose relative is on dialysis. You know dialysis, eh? Who is that? You know that thing where they drain, I think. Dialysis. It has something to do with kidneys, Yeah. If you have somebody whom you know is like that, you just come here and use a point of contact.
You are wonderful. You are worthy, oh Lord. 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 You are wonderful. You are worthy, oh Lord.
Get a donor. And yours? A workmate. A lady. You haven't known him for long. Okay, let's pray about it. In the name of Jesus. Father, I release your healing power upon each and every person who is represented here in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, because you are working a powerful thing and even providing provision in the name of Jesus. Because there is a lot lacking in terms of the money needed to do that kidney replacement. So in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because that provision comes miraculously to fund that thing. In the name of Jesus, I thank you. Who is it? What's it to you? Okay. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Is there a gentleman here who had a growth? I asked for him last week. Is he here? He's not. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Because we are a part of your end time army. Say amen. We thank you, Father, because you shape us, you mold us, you equip us, you strengthen us, and you put us into our ranks. In the name of Jesus, that we shall be a part of what you are building in this end time. Say amen. I thank you, Father, because nobody is going to be left out. I thank you, Father, because everybody understands where they fall and what they are supposed to do. I thank you because none of them shall step on each other's toes, but we shall be walking in one column and with one purpose. And nothing that the enemy places before us shall stand in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name because this is a reality and this is done in our lives. And we are that army. We are that army. Say, I am a part of that army. Amen. And I want you to determine that you will play your role in building that army. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.